So we begin Sefer Shmuel. As we know, Sefer Shmuel is the Sefer of the creation of the Malchut. And it's the Sefer, together with Megillat Rut, which was also written by Shmuel, that describes the transition. One describes the national transition, the other one describes the philosophical transition between the period of the Shoftim, of Bayamim Ahim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ishay Ashar Be'Nav Yaseh, and the beginning of the maturation of Yisrael to the point that they were Shayach to Malchus. Vayish echad min haramatayim tsofim mehar Ephraim, ushmo Elkana ben Yeroham ben Elihu ben Tohu ben Tzuf Ephrati. So there was a certain man, he too was an echad, who came from Ramatayim Tzofim. Now again, Ramatayim Tzofim could just mean that there were two Ramot that were Tzofim Zelazeh, as the Gemara said, which would be an interesting geographical feature. You've got sort of two cliffs that are facing each other. But the remez in such a name would be, as the Gemara says, one of Matayim Tzofim, Shamduli Israel. So that we had over here already a story that begins with Nidiyut. And indeed the Targum over here is Miramata Mitamidi Nidiyaya. That this was a place, the heights, meaning the spiritual heights, where people were being Isaac attempting to achieve Nidiyut. That's the Bnei Nidiyim, as the Rambam defines. And all of the names over here are actually because they're from a mishpacha of Nevi'im. Because these are all B'nai Kairach, as we see in Divrei HaYomim, it goes through these names. So we have Asir, Elkanah, Aviasaf, that's the Elkanah, means that he was a great-grandson here of Elkanah, the original Elkanah, who was a son of Kairach. And this, of course, was what it was that Kairach had seen B'nevius, and that was the reason, as Chazal point out, that he rebelled against Moshe. Because he saw all of these Nevi'im that would be coming from him, including Shmuel, who was as great as Moshe and Aaron combined. It says Moshe ve'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Koreshimo. And he said, Efshe kol ha'gdula hazot is yetzu mimeni, and that I would lose. Obviously, I'm the one who gains. I win. But he didn't see correctly. What he didn't see was that it would be B'nai Kairach lo meso. And that's the other meaning of Tzofim in Aramatayim Tzofim. A child of someone that stood at the height of a particular world, namely hell. Because Mokom nitbatzer lehem b'geinom, Chazal said, that B'nai Kairach did teshuva as they were falling into Sheol, and they stood in a place that was on top of the rest of the world of hell. And that is where it is that they became Nevi'im. That's where we have all the Mizmorim of Bnei Kairach. And that was the Makar of the godless of Shmuel, but not Kairach himself. But that means that we have over here, as Chazal point out, a contrast. That the last two closing disasters that we saw were brought about by Levi'im. So that there were the elements of Levi that was so destructive, amazingly, even in terms of Moshe himself, the one that Korach was fighting with. Because the Levi that was involved in the story of Pesel Micha was a grandson of Moshe. And here we have the grandson of Korach, the irony of it. So the grandson of Moshe ends up destroying Yisrael. The grandson of Korach, who was the one that was fighting Moshe, ends up restoring the Malchus to Yisrael. Recreating what it was that Moshe originally had been Zocha on one level in that door, by Yibishur and Melech. So again, the irony is beautifully brought out by the contrast of the Levi'im, of the closing to the Levi'im, of the opening of Shmuel. V'lo shtei nashim, shem achat chana, v'shem hashenit penina. So the name of his, not ha'achat, but of his achat wife, from which we learn, that Chana, finding herself not having children, was Bedafka, the one who was Machnisa Pnina, so that there would be children. And she said, if I will be Machnis, my Tzora, and she's called right here Tzorata, I will be Machnis, the Tzora, into the home, to be Zeiche here, that the family should have children, Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward me with children. Well, this Tzora had 10 children. And meanwhile, Chana had nothing. And you'll notice, of course, how the entire story of the Malchut again begins with a relationship between women and the way that everything comes about through Chana. Of course, the next Shira is also Chana. Up until now, all we've had was Devora and the Shakam Tiyem, that was Shira's Devora. And then we have the Shira, of course, that went went, unfortunately, not due to her, but due to her wild father, the Shira of the daughter of Yiftach, who was coming out to be Shar for the Nitzachon of Yiftach. And now we have the Shira of Hannah coming up. I don't know, everybody that claims that this is a misogynist culture, there's something very strange about the constant undercurrent of all of the achievement of Tanakh being in terms of women. But, again, there's a tznius element here in that it always pretends to be the men, just as men love to pretend all the time. Well, in front of every successful woman is a dongle, basically. She's running the little puppet. So, in this case, the Allah ha'ish ha'hu, mi'iro mi'amim yamima, li'ishtachavot v'lizbach ladunai tzva'ot b'shilo, v'sham shnei v'ne'eli chofni u'pinchas kohanim ladunai. Now this pasuk is loaded. The first thing that we see over here is that he was Ela from his city all the time, from which Chazal learned that he made it a lifetime mission to make a public show of his Aliyah. Because otherwise, what does it say? The Aliyah, I mean, this was the beginning of Malchus. Because what Elkanah saw was the breakdown in centralization. So the whole issue of Shiloh, which until the time of Elkanah had been a forgotten corner, so that it's even possible it was forgotten to the extent that the identification of where Shiloh was at the end of the last prayer is mournful. By the way, have you heard of Shiloh? It's the little town between Beit El, you know, on the right of the road. No? Never been there? Terrible. So, I mean, the contrast with this, Elkanah saw that the whole idea of Aliyah L'Regel was forgotten, that people weren't makshiv Shiloh. And so Chazal say what he would do is, he would go, and it's another contrast to previous, Berechova Shel Ir. He would go into a town, and every time he went to through a different town. And he would camp there with his entire family in the center of town. Everybody would come by and say, what's going on? Where are you going? And so the first year, people would say, gosh, and he would say, you know, it's a mitzvah, Lorego. Gosh, maybe we can come with you? Would you take us with you? They would take five families the first year, the next year, there were only five families camping out in the middle of the next town. So that 20 families ended up coming. The third year, there was already 100 families coming from the third city. And so he did this year after year, until finally it became a Dover Mekubal in Yisrael, that you made Aliyah L'Regel, because of very low heat. Nothing. They didn't go out to give Musar to anybody. Simply showed by example what it would be. And of course, his child Shmuel turns out to be the one who created circuit courts, as we'll see. And this was another tremendously important response to the story of Pelegish Begiva, where Chazal say to blame for that Pelegish Begiva was the Bezdin HaGadol. They were the ones who killed these 80,000 people. Because you sit there, and what, people are supposed to come to you, and that's how they're going to learn? You never go around to them? So Shmuel, as we're going to see, dedicates his life to never standing still, moving from town to town. So it became now all over the world, not only in Yisrael. The nature of circuit court is based on the Pasuk in Shmuel. He would make a circuit every year, then come once a year back to his home, and that was a continuation of the Maisim of Elkanah, his father. So Chazal see the entire thing as being in the Schus of Elkanah, who had a vision of low-keyed education, by being there, by being available, and everything would thereby change. And obviously, the gradual centralization ultimately created a sense of identity that was centralized, that would be able to be transformed into a Malchus in Shmuel's later years.
Did he go three times or just once a year?
He went four times. We're going to be the diet. Not only did he go to the normal Aliyah L'Regel, but he was mekabel on himself an additional neder, that he would go an additional time a year, so that people shouldn't think that it was only a religious obligation, but it's something people want to do. What are you doing? It's not Yontif. What do you mean? You only go up on Yontif? Are you crazy?
Because he can.
Exactly. Because he can. Beautiful. Perfect way to put it. Okay, so this was a man who already was filled with commitment. And we learn from here, from the Lihishtachavot v'lizboach, another important nekuda, that tefillah is more important than korbanot. Because otherwise, why isn't it say lizboach than lihishtachavot? So apparently it's more valuable, and of course this is the perek in Tanakh, from where we learn out all of the dinim of tefillah, as we're going to see. Chana is the makor of the dinim of tefillah in every way. So that he's mechadesh over here the nature of the Beit Elohim as Beit Tefillah Yikare. This is an amazing thing. The other thing that's important is that all of a sudden the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shiloh is Adonai Tzvaot. Why? We're going to see that Chana was the one who's mechadesh that name in Shiloh. So all to be seen, and of course we foreshadow the future because we're told for no particular reason, so it appears at this point, that the two B'nai Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, were there. Now it turns out that Chofni and Pinchas are the reason that Shmuel takes over. And so we need to know that they're there in order to understand that this is the story of their displacement and why it was that Eli never continued to be the Shofet. Vayihi Hayom, and from here we learn that it was the first day that Eli had become the Shofet of Yisrael. Had become Kohen Gadol, had become Shofet on that day. Of course, that day is also a remez to Rosh Hashanah. As Chazal say, every time it says Hayom, it's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. In this case, it wasn't Rosh Hashanah yet, but this would be the Makor for the Rosh Hashanah to come when Chana was Nifkedet, which is why we read this Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah. So it's Vayi Hayom in the ultimate sense. This is when the Zikaron would be of Chana. Vayi Hayom Vayizbach Elkanah. So Elkanah brought korbanot, v'natam lefnina ishto ulechol vaneha uvnoteha manot. And so he gave portions to Penina, his wife, and to all of her sons, to her daughters, ulechada yitein mana achat apayim. And to Chana, he gave a double portion. And one of the lashonas of apayim is for her face. So this could either mean, this is some beautiful, very poignant shatting. Apayim would mean that he sat right in front of her to show her his special love. So to her face, he gave her this double mana. Or apayim to address her face, her sadness, the fact that she was so upset at the other woman being the one that had all of the children surrounding the table and she being alone. So Chana was given a double portion. Kiat Chana Ahav, because that's who he loved. Va'adunai Sagar Achma, and yet she was sterile. V'chiasata Tzarata Gam Kas Bavur Har Ima, and it wasn't bad enough that she had to see the children around her from her tzara, but it was that Pnina went out of her way to make her life miserable. And the reason that she went out of her way was in order to get her to daven. Bavur Har Ima. It's the same Gemara that learns that the Satan, there's always Mechavin Hashem Shemayim, the Satan appeared to kiss the feet, also teaches us that Pnina was Mechavenet Hashem Shemayim, because she knew that Chana was a tzadeket, and that if she wouldn't give up and would continue Har Ima to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she would have children. And indeed, as the Medrash says, Har Ima is thunder, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's never thunder without rain. Boy, is it going to rain. And we'll see what happens in the relationship between Chana and Penina.
That's sort of the story of the women
that always were children. Because it was the fact that Hashem had closed her rechem, and therefore had she been mitpalelet, she would have been. So the type of things that she said, I mean, the midrashim are absolutely horrific. I mean, she would get up in the morning, and she would say to Chana, Chana, don't you have to feed the kids breakfast? And then would we get time to dress the kids? Hey, Chana, you lend me maybe a coat for a six-year-old? And then, what's the matter? You're not taking the kids to school. I mean, it's horrifying, right? Not taking the kids to school would come time for lunch. Hey, Chana, don't you got to meet the kids coming back from Cheder? But it's an interesting medrash because it shows the Seder Hayom is completely contemporary. But in any event, so these were the things that every day would tear her to pieces. V'chein yaaseh shana v'shana midei alotah b'vet Adonai kein tach isena. And so this would go on every single time. Elkanah would come up, he would give her the extra chelek, the mechaviv, and so on. And the more her husband showed his love, the greater the kaas that her tzara would be mach isa.
Vatifke velo tocha, and she would cry and not eat. Vayomer la Elkada isha, Chana, lama tifchi, velama lo tifchi, velama yera levavech. Halo anochi tov lach mi'asara banim. Is not my love, is the Targum, is not my love worth to you 10 children? Why should you be so sad? Vatokom chana achrei ochla v'shilo v'acharei shato. So maybe he got her to eat a little bit. Here the Medrash is Medayik. It says acharei shato is the kri, which means that he drank, and that indeed she didn't drink at all. From where we learn that it's best to avoid, as we know, women have a particular, usually a genetic problem with handling alcohol. And so it's best not to give her to drink, which we learn from here. But what's important for our story is that she hadn't had anything to drink. We'll see why that's important. Eli HaKohen Yoshev Al HaKisei Al Mezuzat HaHichal Adonai. Eli HaKohen is sitting there, which some taina, that even though it says Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Ela L'Malchei Beit David Bilvad, that Eli, as a Kohen Gadol, has a right for Yeshiva in the Azara. V'yimarat Nefesh. She's very bitter. V'titpalel Al Adonai U'vachot Tifkeh. And she prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cried. Now, when it says Al Hashem, it means that it was a tough prayer, so that she was fighting, she was arguing. And we're going to see what it is that she said. That was rather rough. Vatidor neder vatomar. And so she made a neder, and she said, Adonai Tzvaot. Now, again, the Gemara says, this is the first time that anyone had ever used that name. Why did she use the name of Tzvaot for Hashem Hashem? There's a number of different levels, but this means that Kabbalistically, she was mechadesh at that shame. She says, in other words, every shame has a makor in the Olam, in which a person is makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that shame. Obviously, the nature of tzivaot is a idea of army, in which everyone is involved in a mission and a vision that is coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it means that Chana, as her connection to Hashem Yisbarak, has a relationship that Elkanah had to the Am as being Mechadish, the Eliel Regel, and the interconnections that are between them. But the Parsha, the meaning in terms of this Tefillah, there's a number of fascinating meanings that the Gemara learns and the Midrashim learn. One is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she says, there are two sets of worlds that you created. So you created Tzvaot in the worlds above, Tzvaot in the worlds below. They're very different. Tzvaot and the Olam HaElyon are eternal, and therefore they don't reproduce. Tzvaot and the Olam HaTachton are not eternal, they die. Or they do reproduce. So okay, if I don't reproduce, then I'm eternal. Is that what's understood? If you're telling me I'm human, why don't I reproduce? This is a violation to the whole nature of Hakamat Tzvaot and the Olam. Another thing that she was saying, Zibayna Shalom, from all of the billions of things that you've created, you can't spare a damn little kid for a little girl? It's outrageous. Or, Ribbono Shel Olam, everything that you created in the world has a function. She would go through her body and then she would hold her breasts. Tell me, what are these for exactly? They're not supposed to be nursing? You couldn't get that one straight? So these were tough words that she was saying. And that's why she says, Imra'o Tir'eh, the Gemara Darshans. We're saying, Imra'o Tir'eh. Look, if you do this right, fine. If you don't do it right, you're going to do it my way. Tir'eh. Why? Because I have it all worked out. You've already said that the halacha is that a sota, if she ends up not sleeping with her lover, so then she's going to be all of a sudden, even though she never had children before, she's going to have children. Okay. I'll get my husband upset. He'll go and be mekanebi. I will then drink the mayim ha'ma'orim to prove my innocence. And then what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, it doesn't work for Chana. You're not going to be able to say that, are you? So either you do it right, or we'll do it my way. So that's Imra'o Tir'eh. But this, I'm tired of this, and I'm putting up with it anymore. So Imra'o Tir'eh ba'oni amatecha uzchartani. And of course, that zichartani is a reference to itself, the Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron, where she was indeed nifkedet. V'lo tishkach et amatecha. Now that zichartani, v'lo tishkach, is a remez in having boys and girls. Because zachar is zichartani. To forget is nashani, so that male and female are both merumas here. V'lo tishkach et amatecha, v'natata la amatecha zera anashim. And you give me human children. What do you mean by human children? So one medrash says, there's a lot of kids out there that look just like monkeys. I want one of them. I want a human child. So I want a human child. Another lashon is zera nashim means gavar beguvrin, a real man, somebody that's going to stand out. But the most beautiful pshat in the Gemara is that zera nashim means a common man. I don't want a genius. I don't want somebody very tall. I don't want an Olympic winner. I want a regular kid, somebody who's balanced. Not he's got his own craziness that's going to destroy his life. We've had enough of these geniuses in the Yemei HaShoftim. They're all out of their minds. It's time for a little normalcy. So her sense of balance, which of course is the essence of Malthus, is the way in which all things can be integrated. It already shows here in terms of what it is that she was asking for. That's amazing, child.
She's getting so specific.
Oh, she handles this exactly. We'll see. She beats exactly what she says. Unetativ l'Adonai kol yemei chayav. If you do that, I bring him all of his life to the Mishkan. Umora lo yala rosho. Now this, of course, is a machlokas. Do we learn out mora lo yala rosho from the story of Eshet Manoach, which means that he will be a Nazir? Or does mora lo yala rosho means this guy will fear no one? So mora, there will be no fear in him. And that's good for a machlokas in the Gemara. V'haya, ki hir betali hitpaveh lifnei Adonai. And as it was that she was davening for such a long time, the Eli shomeret pia, and Eli was watching her mouth move. Now some learn from here, it's a machlokas. V'ayaki here betalit palel. So you see from here that it's a good thing to be marba tefila, right? Says the Medrash, no, this was the worst thing that she did, that she was marba tefila. Because, and this is, I mean, for some reason it doesn't bring it in Koheles. But the Pasuk in Koheles doesn't bring the Medrash. But the Pasuk in Koheles says, Ki Elohim b'shamayim, v'ata al ha'aretz, hakein yud v'recha mu'atim. Don't talk so much. Says the Medrash, because she talked so much, she killed her son at the age of 52. Because she says, you know what, I'll give him ad olam. Well, obviously, nobody lives forever. So what would olam mean? An olam as defined by the Levian. So that's up until he's 50 years old, and he's kosher mitzvah avodah. Because then he had to die young, because she said, I mean, I can only give it to Ma'an Olam. So Lamai said, the more you try to be marba, the more damage you cause. It's not necessarily a good idea to babble on. Now, the next pasuk, as the Gemara puts on, is kama hilchata givirta, look how many important halachas we learn out of Chana. All of the dinim of tefillah that we had no, Eli had no idea how you're supposed to daven. So Eli is watching her, v'chani midaberet aliba. Chana is basically speaking to her own heart. Well, that's one halacha we learned. That you have to at least speak. So you have to say out the words. You can't speak in your heart. You have to be speaking at your heart. Furthermore, we learn that if it's in nogea liba, so then obviously she means that she has kavana. In other words, that she put her entire heart into it. So I mean, look, the things that are coming from this woman are amazing. I mean, an entirely new chiddush of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents in the Yolo. A new Shem Hashem, a vision of what Malchus has to consist of, what kind of child that she would have to have. And so here we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsive to the lave. So she's bedaberet eliba. So you see, you have to be mechaving libo, says the Gemara. Furthermore, it says, rak shvateh na'ot v'kola lo yishamea. So you see, you have to move your lips, but you shouldn't speak aloud. Eli didn't know that. He thought you're supposed to speak aloud during tefillah. So we learn that from her. And because of that, Vayakshavah Eli Lashikora, from which we learn that a shikar is also to pray. So it's every word in the story of Chana is a din in Ilchot Tefillah. Vayomra Ela Eli. So Eli says to her, Admatai Tishtakarin, Asiri Dinech Me Alayach, enough already. How long are you gonna be a shikora? Now, the problem was over here. It says that she was here, betalit palel lifnei Hashem. From there we learn that it's considered to be a mokum of the Ashras Hashchina, therefore Eli couldn't sit. He had to stand up because, very good imagine, it was getting pretty good. So it's also leshevet in the area in which a person is praying. So he was standing. So he was getting, you know, okay already. Enough. Matan chanava tomet. So this is now a vicious retort. The Gemara understands is vicious. Lo Adoni. which means, you are not my master in this, you idiot. Meaning, you've got this completely backwards. You don't know what you're talking about. And as Rashi's lesson is, galita batzmecha she'in ruach hakodesh shoral. You've just shown yourself to be a complete charlatan. If you were really reading the Urim V'Tumim, which Lamaisa was lighting up with the letters Chof, Shin, Resh, Hey, Kishay Rash, Zanisha, Kishay Ra, Bimavarecha. He, because of his prejudice, reads it as Shikora, Shin, Chof, Resh, Hey. So it says Chana, boy, that's really great Ruach HaKodesh you got. So this was a very vicious retort. So because of that, she needed to fix it up a little. So later on, she refers to herself as Amatecha, because she had spoken very harshly to him. But from there we learn, again, to everything, from there we learn that a person is mechuyev to set somebody straight and not just accept what he said. She could have. I mean, as far as she's concerned, you want to think I'm a shikora, thank you very much. What do I care what you think? But from here we learn you're mechuyev to set him straight. So therefore she said, lo aduni, ishak shat ruach anochi. Well, I don't even need to do it anymore. V'yayin v'shechar lo shatiti. I haven't had anything to drink. V'shpochet nafshi lifnei Adonai. Al titenet amatcha lifnei bat v'liyahal. Ki merov sichi v'chasi dibarti adena. Don't look at me the way you would at someone who is a bat v'liyahal. That, of course, is the same lashon that we spoke about in the Pelegish Begivah story. For it was only because of the pain that's in my heart and my need to continue to say this in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I've spoken like this for this long. So the tzar that I've had, he is a lashon of rogetz, and the kas, she's now complaining even about her tzara, v'tiasata. So it's what I'm going through in terms of my relationship to God and my relationship to the woman that I brought into my house. Vayan Eli Vayomer Lechila Shalom, from which we learn another halacha, that if somebody has been Cheshed B'Ksherim, which this is the classic Kishayra, this is the ultimate Cheshed B'Ksherim, that you have to acknowledge that it was wrong, and you have to give a bracha, which is the next thing that Eli does. V'lohei Yisrael Yitenet Shelatech Asher Sha'alt Mi'imo, and may God indeed grant you that which you asked. So Eli was Maftiach her, that her tefillah was mitkabelet. And here is where she makes up for the way she had spoken to him roughly. So she says, may I find favor in your eyes. She was absolutely sure that if Eli had now seen that her tefillah was mitkabelet, that indeed it was mitkabelet. Vayashkimu baboker, vayishtahavu lifnei Adonai, vayashuvu vayavo el beitam haramata, vayeda el kanat chana ishto vayizkereha Adonai. And so here, Zikaron, in terms of Yom HaZikaron Rosh Hashanah, which as I mentioned is the reason we read this on Rosh Hashanah, she was nifkedet on this day, but again, from here we learn another halacha, that you're not allowed to sleep with your wife when you are in someone else's house. It's impolite. So over here, it's only when he came back, when he came back to Ramah, then he sleeps with his wife. And so it was at the end of two tkufot, from which the Gemara learns out that Shmuel was premature, because it's two tkufot is only 6 months, together with yamim, from where we learn that in those days was reported all over the world, that there were 7 month gestations, appears in Galen as well, so that a yoledes l'shiv'a can be yoledet l'mikuta'im. So a full term, what we would call a full term pregnancy, was meant to be a 9 month gestational pregnancy. We don't know from such a thing now, it seems to us to be a joke. But a 9 month gestational pregnancy cannot survive prematurely in those days anyway. A 7th month can. Because here he was born in the 6th month, in the middle of the beginning of the 7th month, not at the end of the 7th month. So he was born young. The reason that that's important is because it sheds light on why it is that she wasn't Ela with him later, the Gemara Chagiga said. He was weak because he was premature. So Vatar Chana Vatele Ben Vatikrat Shmo Shmuel Ki Mi'adonai She'iltiv. This is weird because, of course, Shmuel's greatest achievement is Shaul, and She'il Tiv means that his name should have been Shaul, not Shmuel. But Shmuel has in it the letters of El Shaul. So it was Shaul to El. So Mi El Sha'al Tiv. It has all of the different Lashonas in the Otiot, right? So it includes more than just So the otiot are Shaul and Me'el. So I she'il tif, I borrowed him, or I lend him to God. Vayala ish el kanavacho beto lizboach ladunai et zevach hayamin vet nidro. So Elkanah was going up, first of all, for the chiyuvim of the regel, that's lizboach, and the nedarim, besides the chiyuv of the regel, is the korban chagiga and the korban ria. But Chana lo alat. Chana did not go up, ki amra le'isha ad yigamel hanar. I'm going to wait 24 months until the child is completely weaned, and then ve'aviotiv, because I won't be able to bring him back home. Then v'nirat p'nei Adonai v'yashav shama adolam, and at that point, he will stay there forever. Now, the Gemara brings raya from here, that l'chora, that means that even though a child is capable of being carried on a father's back, that you don't go up to regel, which is a contradiction to the way that the Chachomim were learning in Chagiga. That kol she'oviv is capable of carrying him on the back from the Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit, you would bring such a child up. Here you see you didn't. Ask the Gemara, if that you think is a riot, I'd explain the fact that Chana didn't go up. Maybe she's Ptura from Re'iyah, why didn't she have it in Simcha? Must be that the reason that they didn't go was because Shmuel was a premature infant. So that even though another child of his age now at a year old would easily have been able to go up and go on his father's back, she felt that he was not a healthy boy. And so because of that, it was usher for her to go because she needed to take care of him. So it was a sakana involved in going. So the whole thing now ties into the Vayilut Kufa Tayamim. Vayom elayel kanayisha asiyatov beinayach, rely on you. Shviyad gomlechoto. You can stay here until the 24 months are up. Ach yakim Adonai tivaro. May God keep his promise. What promise? So there's an amazing medrash. Medrash says that every day there was a bat kol that used to come out, and the people were hearing now for a whole year. There's going to be a Shmuel. This is going on for years, actually. There's going to be a Shmuel, and he's going to be the source now of the turnaround. Because everybody was feeling the bayamim, everybody was feeling the hopelessness situation. So everybody, of course, named their kid Shmuel. I mean, obviously, but it's my Shmuel. You know, didn't take very long in which all the neighbors were saying, that Shmuel? So, therefore, he was saying, okay, but he should be the real one. So Hashem should be making the Dvar of the Basko. And so the woman was committed to the Yanika. And of course, her relationship to Yanika came from early on. As the Medrash says, she would hold her breasts in her hand and say, what are these for? So her vision, lechatchila, was for the nourishment that she would be given. And so she brought him with her, kasher gamalato, and she brought indeed a gift as she brought him. And she brings him along, peparim shlosha, veifa chat kemach, nevel yayin, vatvieu beit Adonai shilo, vanar noar. Now this is an amazing word. Vanar noar. What in the world is that supposed to mean? And the boy was sure one heck of a boy. So the Gemara learns out, yep, this was quite a change. You know, it's a very sedate kind of country until now. You know, Ailey's sitting there, the old Ailey, and everybody's got exactly their roles very well defined, and if you have a question, you come to Ailey and he gives you the answer. And all of a sudden, in walks little two-year-old Shmuel, and he's putting up with none of this nonsense. He's not. So you get this impression of somebody, I mean, he's moving in. This is crazy. So now there's going to be a two-year-old in the Mishkan who's going to drive everyone nuts. And the Gemara says, well, the first thing he did was exactly this. Vayishchatu et hapar. Vayaviv et anar aleli. They shechted the par. What does that have to do with anar v'anar and then vayaviv et anar aleli? Says the Gemara, amazing thing. They're all connected. They didn't want to shecht the par. Why? Because Chofkei and Pinchas were busy, of course, as usual, as we'll see later. So they didn't have any coin to shecht the par. So Shmuel says, what the heck do you need a coin for? The din is that shechit is kosher with a czar. It only says Kabbalah, the kibel ha-kohen. It doesn't say shechat ha-kohen. So they go ahead, they shecht the par. Meanwhile, everybody's outraged. Who the heck is a two-year-old passing a halacha in front of Eli ha-kohen? The shofet of Yisrael. So they bring him to Eli. Here's the new boy in the Mishkan, Eli. What do you have to say? So Eli says, pretty smart kid. We can knock him off today. Because, I mean, yes, you're right, but you're Meir HaHalach and Fnei Rabo. I think we need to establish a precedent here. So we'll kill him. It's Chayiv Nisa, Meir HaHalach and Fnei Rabo. So, she says, no, but there would be Adonai, wait, no, don't kill him. Chay Nefshecha Adonai, Ani HaYisha, Nitzevet Imacha Bezeh, Mitpalel Al Adonai. I'm the woman that you gave a bracha to, that I was going to have a kid, and this is the kid, and so on. So he says, okay, so we'll give you a bracha for another kid. What's the difference? So she says, El Hanar Hazeh Itpalalti. No, I want another kid. This is the specific kid that I davened for. He's got all of the things that I was asking for. This man, this is such a beautiful, unfortunately, I can't give it over the way my Rebbe gave it over, but he would stand up on Rosh Hashanah to say this over. Gever Beguvri, a normal child, a balanced child, not too smart. So he would say in Yiddish, and you think that that's not what she got. It's exactly what she got. Every last thing that she wanted. Shmuel Hanavi was a typical average child. That's what you have to remember. This is the child that I want. This is the child that I prayed for. You can't give me another child like this one. And God has given me that which I begged him for. This is an additional taina, say some of the Rishayim. You can't kill him because he belongs to God. It's too late. Sorry, I already gave him over. So what are you going to do? You're going to get permission from God to kill him. It's not my kid anymore. So since he was led to God, he's going to have to be returned. So now you're going to be a ganav. No, you can't do that. So I've also given him over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol HaYamim, and the B, of course, is a Bakasha, also take him in. Make him your prize student. Let's get past this fear of the competition and the sense that somebody's coming to usurp you, which of course is exactly what he would end up doing. And the first Nevi'ah that he gets is about the horrific end of Eli. But, okay, that was the Rebbe's already, the Shnei B'nai Eli that we saw immediately right at the beginning of the parak. But let's get past that. And you take him. And all of the days, Shiraya, and that he will live, who Sha'ul Adonai. And so they all bow down, and this was the beginning of the career of Shmuel.